Chapter 4, Module 1, Inflammation, Healing, Immunity and Infection. Orientation. Inflammation is a protective response to infection, tissue injury, foreign material and disturbed cells. It recruits fluid, proteins and leukocytes to contain threats and begin repair. The same response can damage tissue when excessive, misdirected, prolonged or poorly resolved. Immunity adds specificity and memory, while healing restores continuity through regeneration and scar formation. Infection is one cause of inflammation, but the two terms are not interchangeable. Recognition and immediate defense. Physical barriers are the first defense. Skin provides keratin, lipids, low surface moisture, resident microbes, and continuous shedding. Respiratory mucus traps particles while cilia move them toward the pharynx. Cough, gastric acid, bile, urine flow, tears, and antimicrobial peptides reduce microbial access. Barrier damage from wounds, devices, burns, impaired perfusion, or inflammation creates entry points. Innate immune cells recognize recurring microbial structures and signals released by damaged cells. Pattern recognition receptors activate inflammatory gene expression, antimicrobial pathways, and inflammasomes. Complement proteins circulate as inactive precursors. Activation can mark targets for phagocytosis, recruit leukocytes, and form membrane attack complexes. Complement is powerful and therefore tightly regulated to limit host injury. Mast cells, macrophages, dendritic cells, and tissue-resident lymphocytes can respond rapidly. Histamine increases arteriolar dilation and venular permeability. Lipid mediators, cytokines, chemokines, complement fragments, and bradykinin coordinate vascular change, pain, fever, leukocyte recruitment, and systemic responses. Acute inflammation. Increased blood flow produces redness and warmth. Increased microvascular permeability allows protein-rich fluid to enter tissue, producing swelling. Pain reflects mediators and mechanical pressure. Loss of function can follow pain, swelling, and direct tissue damage. These classic features are useful patterns, not requirements for every inflammatory process. Leukocyte recruitment begins as blood flow slows and cells move toward the vessel wall. Selectins support rolling. Chemokines activate leukocyte integrins, which bind endothelial adhesion molecules firmly. Leukocytes then cross the vessel wall and follow chemical gradients. Neutrophils commonly dominate early bacterial inflammation. Monocytes arrive and differentiate into macrophages, which phagocytose material and organize repair. The timing and dominant cell type vary with the cause. Phagocytosis requires recognition, engulfment, killing, and digestion. Antibodies and complement can opsonize a target, making recognition more efficient. Reactive oxygen species, nitric oxide, granule enzymes, acidity, and antimicrobial proteins kill microbes. These mechanisms can also injure surrounding tissue when released extracellularly. Pus contains neutrophils, necrotic debris, protein-rich fluid, and often microbes. An abscess walls off a local collection and may require drainage because antibiotics penetrate poorly and source control is incomplete. Inflammation can resolve, organize into scar, form an abscess, or progress to chronic inflammation. Adaptive immunity. Dendritic cells link innate recognition with adaptive responses by processing antigen and presenting peptides to T lymphocytes. Major histocompatibility, complex class 1, displays intracellular peptides to CD8 positive T cells. Class 2 displays extracellularly derived peptides to CD4 positive T cells. Activation also requires co-stimulation and an appropriate cytokine environment. Antigen recognition alone does not necessarily produce an effective response. CD4 positive T cells coordinate immunity through specialized patterns. Some activate macrophages and support responses to intracellular organisms. Others promote eosinophils and immunoglobulin E responses against parasites and in allergy. Others recruit neutrophils at barriers. Regulatory T cells restrain immune activation and support tolerance. CD8 positive T cells kill infected or abnormal cells through regulated cytotoxic mechanisms. B cells recognize antigen through surface immunoglobulin. With appropriate signals, they become plasma cells that secrete antibody or memory cells that respond rapidly on re-exposure. Immunoglobulin M appears early and efficiently activates complement. Immunoglobulin G is abundant in blood and tissues, supports neutralization and opsonization, and crosses the placenta. Immunoglobulin A protects mucosal surfaces and appears in secretions. Immunoglobulin E binds mast cells and contributes to parasite defense and immediate allergy. Antibodies neutralize toxins and viruses, block attachment, activate complement, and mark targets for phagocytes. Affinity maturation and class switching improve function. Memory permits a faster and stronger response after vaccination or previous infection, although memory durability varies. Immune injury and immune failure. Hypersensitivity describes immune-mediated tissue injury. Immediate hypersensitivity involves immunoglobulin E, mast cell activation, and mediators that can cause urticaria, bronchospasm, gastrointestinal symptoms, or anaphylaxis. Antibody-mediated injury can target cell surfaces or extracellular structures. Immune complexes can deposit and activate complement. Delayed hypersensitivity is driven largely by T cells and activated macrophages. Autoimmunity develops when tolerance fails and genetic susceptibility interacts with environmental triggers. Disease can be organ-specific or systemic. Mechanisms include autoantibodies, autoreactive T cells, immune complexes, complement activation, and cytokine-driven inflammation. A positive autoantibody test is not a diagnosis by itself. Pretest probability, titer, pattern, organ involvement, and alternative explanations matter. Immunodeficiency may be inherited or acquired. Causes include malignancy, malnutrition, human immunodeficiency virus, diabetes, kidney or liver disease, loss of splenic function, immunosuppressive drugs, and extremes of age. The pattern of infection can suggest the affected immune component. Neutropenia predisposes to invasive bacterial and fungal infection. T-cell impairment increases vulnerability to intracellular and opportunistic organisms. Antibody deficiency particularly affects responses to encapsulated bacteria. Fever and systemic inflammation. Microbial products and inflammatory cytokines increase prostaglandin production in the hypothalamus, raising the temperature set point. The person initially feels cold, vasoconstricts, and may shiver until body temperature reaches the new target. When the set point falls, vasodilation and sweating promote heat loss. Fever differs from hypothermia, in which heat production or environmental load exceeds heat loss capacity without a regulated set point rise. The liver produces acute phase proteins, including C-reactive protein and fibrinogen, while albumin can fall. Bone marrow output changes, metabolism shifts, and behavior favors rest. These responses can be adaptive, but severe systemic inflammation causes endothelial dysfunction, vasodilation, capillary leakage, coagulation activation, myocardial depression, and abnormal cellular metabolism. Sepsis is life-threatening organ dysfunction caused by a dysregulated response to infection. It is not defined by fever alone and can occur with normal or low temperature. Clinical concern rises with altered mental state, hypotension, rapid breathing, hypoxemia, oliguria, mottled skin, elevated lactate, thrombocytopenia, or deteriorating organ function. Early priorities include recognizing the syndrome, obtaining appropriate cultures without dangerous delay, administering suitable antimicrobials, controlling the source, supporting perfusion and oxygenation, and reassessing response. Healing and fibrosis. Healing overlaps with inflammation. Hemostasis limits blood loss and creates a provisional matrix. Neutrophils and macrophages remove contamination and damaged material. Macrophages then shift signaling toward repair. Growth factors stimulate epithelial proliferation, fibroblast migration, extracellular matrix production, and angiogenesis. Regeneration restores specialized cells when surviving cells or stem cells can proliferate and the tissue scaffold remains suitable. Scar formation becomes dominant when damage is extensive. Extracellular matrix is destroyed. Cells cannot divide effectively or inflammation persists. Fibroblasts produce collagen while myofibroblasts contract the wound. Remodeling changes collagen composition and alignment. Tensile strength increases over months but usually does not return fully to that of uninjured tissue. Healing is delayed by poor perfusion, infection, repeated trauma, foreign material, edema, malnutrition, glucocorticoid exposure, diabetes, smoking, and advanced age. Local assessment considers wound depth, tissue viability, exudate, odor, surrounding skin, pain, vascular supply, pressure, and evidence of spreading infection. Systemic assessment considers nutrition, glycemic control, immune function, medications, and capacity for self-care. Excessive repair causes hypertrophic scars, keloids, adhesions, strictures, or organ fibrosis. Chronic fibrosis replaces functional tissue with extracellular matrix, distorts architecture, and reduces reserve. Examples include cirrhosis, pulmonary fibrosis, chronic kidney scarring, and adverse cardiac remodeling. Antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory logic. Antimicrobial therapy should match the likely organism, site, severity, host factors, local resistance, and drug penetration. Cultures guide narrowing when reliable samples can be obtained. Dose depends on absorption, distribution, kidney and liver function, and pharmacodynamic target. Source control may require drainage, debridement, removal of an infected device, or relief of obstruction. Anti-inflammatory drugs modify the host response rather than eliminating most infectious causes. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs reduce prostaglandin synthesis, but can injure the gastrointestinal tract, kidneys, and cardiovascular system. Glucocorticoids broadly alter gene expression and immune function. They can be life-saving but increase infection, hyperglycemia, bone loss, muscle weakness, and adrenal suppression. Immunomodulation requires a clear indication and monitoring plan.